2 Kings, the 9th chapter of 2 Kings. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'll start reading at the first verse in chapter 9 of 2 Kings. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, Gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thy hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, and make him arise up from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door, and flee, and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead, and when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of all us? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants and prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Let us pray. Father, once again, I thank you for your wonderful, wonderful love for us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the salvation you've given unto us through Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord, and His shed blood. And Father, again today we need your help. We need your power, your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to empower this preacher. Give me wisdom this morning as I preach. And Father, also just have your will and way in everything that is done here. Lord, help us to have receptive hearts to thy word, that thy will be done. And I thank you in the precious, most wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take the time also this morning to mention to you, if you was not here in the adult Sunday school class, your teachers, you ought to get the tape of that. That was a help to us, Brother Himes. Brother Himes taught our Sunday school class, and he taught on missions, missionaries. And my, what a blessing that was. And that was a help to us. And I want to thank you personally for that. Encourage anybody that was not in these services to please get that tape and listen to it. It'll help us as a church, as a people, when it concerns our missionaries. All right. So we're going to, this morning, going to preach a message on a prophet, an unnamed prophet. We have a prophet here that God didn't even choose to name his name. And not only that, when you look at this job that he asked this prophet to do, we know he was a young man. The Bible tells us that down in verse number 4. At verse number 1, it talks about he's one of the children of the prophets. And down on verse number 4, so the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. We know he was a young man. And he was one of the children of the prophets. That does not mean he was a little child. He's more than likely a young man. And we know that he had a job that God wanted him to do. But yet God never chose to name him. So we're going to preach on that subject this morning. What did God expect of him, his mission, and his message? Now, this morning, as we look at this, I'll just give you just a little bit of background. Ahab and Jezebel's reign over Israel, a terrible, terrible time for Israel. They were wicked people, wicked leaders, and it was getting ready to come to an end. And God was going to see to it that it did come to an end. He was sending this young prophet to Jehu so that he would anoint him as king. That was his mission that he was to do. Now, one of the reasons that Elisha is the one that called the young man and told him what to do. Elisha himself did not go, was simply because it would have caused a big stir in Ramoth Gilead. They would have wondered why Elisha had come to that place. Anywhere Elisha went, he was a great prophet of God. Anywhere he went, it certainly caused a stir. In fact, over in verse 15 of chapter 9, it says, "But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, 'If it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel.'" It was a thing that was supposed to be kept secret. Did not want it to be known. It needed to be done, but didn't no one to know about it until the job was done. So if Elisha went, that was really going to cause a stir. People would wonder why Elisha was going there. So Elisha called a young prophet, a young man, to go and to take care of anointing Jehu as the king. Now God has all kinds of jobs that need to be done. I think you can understand that. He's got all kinds of things that need done. And God chooses out individuals to do those specific jobs. I will look at it in just a minute, but if you look at young man here, the job he had to do, I read his message that he gave to Jehu, and it took me 45 seconds to read it. He had a 45-second commission. It's amazing. And God gave him this great job, though, through the prophet Elisha, gave him a great job, and it was an important job to go and anoint. Now, he may have been there a little longer than that, but I'm talking about, I read it, he may have been there because he anointed him with oil. May have taken a little bit longer than that to get all of that done, but it wasn't very long. It did not. Of course, God told him to flee, and he did. He left, and he fled out of there as fast as he could go. Here he was prepared, and he was prepared, had all these things ready to go on this mission. Probably wasn't there over 3 or 4 minutes at the most, I'm saying. I'm just kind of guessing on all of this. But he had a very short message for him, and his job was done, and he left. Amen. So God's got all kinds of jobs for people to do, all kinds of things that he calls out specifically for people to do. And that's one of the first points I want to make notice is this young man was called of God for a service. Now that's very, very important. Now listen to me, folks. All of us as God's children, all of us, every single one of us, we're called to serve God. Just for the fact that we become a child of God, we're called to serve God. You're a child of God. We're not. God never saves a person and says, "Now just sit down and wait till the rapture comes." That's never in the plan of God. There's always certain things that God expects from those who are born again, those who are saved. Certainly soul winning is under that. Soul winning, every individual Christian is commissioned by God to win souls. Amen. You know, that's just one of the commissions that comes along with being a child of God. Being faithful to the house of God, being a faithful Christian. That's just one of the things that God expects every single Christian, born again child of God, just to be a part of his life. Amen. For us to be a blessing to others and be an encouragement to others. When you get saved, when you get born into God's family, that's just part of our life. That's what we're supposed to do. That's just the way of the Christian life, you see. And then, of course, for us to live right, to live a good, solid Christian life and to turn from sin and live right and do all those things, that's what God expects from every Christian. I mean, amen? He expects that from every born-again Christian. There's certain things, and I'm not going to cover them all, but certain things just become a part of our life because we're a child of God. Just because we're a child of God. And then sometimes, though, he calls people out for specific, special times of service. Now, this young man here, I know he did more than just go this 3 or 4 minute mission that he had. I know better than that because he was a son of a prophet. He called him a prophet. He was a young man, and he probably went back and served God in many, many ways, but we're not told about that. But certainly he was called of God, and he was used of God. What I want to say, sometimes God just reaches down in your life or my life and says, "I want you to do this." You maybe just go to see somebody. You may not be anointing a king. Probably won't be, but I've got a specific job I want you to do, and I want you to see so-and-so, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. May not take very much of our time, but it's specific things that God wants us to do. Amen. I think you agree with me that. In other words, we're just called to service. Now, let me say also something about this young man, although it doesn't say a lot about him. I know enough about Elisha to know this. This young man had proven himself, and he was a qualified young man to be used for this commission that was given him. Elisha was not a man who would just say, oh, just give me somebody out there. Anybody doesn't make any difference. Oh, no, no. This young man was a man, I'm sure, that when he thought needing someone to go and anoint King Jehu King, he thought immediately in his mind, oh, I'll get so-and-so. He's a faithful young man. He's proven himself in the Lord's work, and I'll just get him. I think that's really basically what happened. So this young man was a young man who had proven himself. Now, there's always a call to service. We've been blessed. We talked about this earlier, about those who are getting ready to prepare for service. I mean, they've stepped out. They've not just said, I'm called. They've stepped out, and they're going to commit themselves to the service of God. They're going on. We'll talk about it in a minute, but they're getting prepared and ready to go on for the Lord's work. Now, the second thing he says in verse number 1, he says, Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins. Now, that's important. He said to this young prophet, this young man, gird up thy loins. In other words, that girding up means to tie up the loose-fitting robes. And we've talked about this in other scriptures, but when you gird up the loins, it speaks of getting things out of the way and tying them up so you can move. I mean, you can get going. You see, and nothing's going to hinder you in it. You can tie those up. You can move. You won't be hindered. You won't be tripping over that long garment there. And get up, and so you can gird them up and get going, you see. Well, what he's saying is this. He's saying to anybody that God calls is, get your life in order so you can be busy in the Lord's work. There's a lot of things you got to tie up. A lot of things you got to get rid of when you're going to give the Lord, you're going to go into the Lord's work. A lot of things you don't need, all these things that hinder you and tie you down. You can't have those things. You've got to be free to do the work of the Lord. Amen? And so you've got to do that. Now, over in Timothy, let me show you something he told in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, the second chapter. God's going to do something. When anybody he calls to go out in a specific work, he's going to test them, and he's going to test their priorities. God always does that. God does not just call somebody and just hope they turn out all right. He always tests them. He puts pressure on them. And he sees if they'll follow what it is that God has called them to do. Now look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse number 1. He says, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now you've got to understand here, God's talking to Timothy, a man who had been called of God, who was going to go and be used of God. And he says to him, you've got to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and you've got to endure hardness as a good soldier. Anybody that's called out for a specific purpose for the Lord has got to understand they're in a battle. Every Christian's in a battle. But let me say to you, if you've given yourself as a soldier to the Lord, you've got to learn to endure hardnesses. That's a part of your training. And you will do it on through life. But let me assure you, when you first begin, God's going to see to it that some hard and difficult things come into your life to test your priorities of life. Do you mean it? And here's what he says here. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And here again, he simply says this. No man warreth gets entangled with the affairs of his life. It does not say he is not concerned with the affairs of this life. He has to take care of the affairs of this life, but he don't entangle himself in them. You know, the word entanglement there can be a good illustration of that is, have you ever been entangled in barbed wire? If you've been a farmer, you probably have. You had barbed wire around you or something. I have in my life. I'm not a farmer, but I've worked on the farm many years, and I've had barbed wire grab me, and it's not funny. And when you really let it get around you, if you would really let it get around you, you can't hardly move. It's got you. That's what he's saying here to the good soldier. You can't let the affairs of this life entangle you to where you can't move, can't do what God wants you to do. Amen. And so he's saying that there's priorities, you see, in life, and we've got to get our priorities right. If God's going to call you, God's going to use you, you've got to get the priorities of life correct and right. Now, not only that, going back to chapter 9, he says also, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, if you notice here, there's a preparation for service. He said, look, now you take this box of oil with you. You're going to need it because you're going to anoint Jehu king. You're going to need this. You see, you've got to prepare to do the work that God wants you to do when you get there. And that's why we tell our young people, you know, preparation for serving God is just absolutely necessary. It's necessary. God's not going to take a vessel that won't prepare and use them. Not like they should or want to be used. That's why Brother Luke spent five little plus years in college up there getting his master's degree. He's come out of there prepared to do the work in Dominion Republic that God had for him to do. That's why these young men around here, and I forgot earlier about Paul Himes. He's here too. He's going off to college this year. He don't know for sure what God wants him to do, but he's going to get prepared. Amen. Amen. And that must be the preparation, you see. I would say that to a preacher. A preacher that doesn't get in his study and prepare is worthless. Useless. A Sunday school teacher that does not prepare for their Sunday school classes, really get prepared and ready to stand, is useless. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. And if you're going to be called of God to do something, God's going to send you out. You got to get prepared to serve God. Amen. So there again, this young man went prepared. He had what he needed to do to get the job done when he got there. And that's what we'll say to all these that ever get called of God. You get prepared and ready, so when you get there, you'll be prepared and ready to do what God's called you to do. See, we're all different. We're all got different talents. All, every one of us is different, you see. And God picks out this person and that person and uses them for this and uses them for that. And, you know, God does that in the head. And some of them may not have all the temper but the other one have and all these things. That doesn't make any difference. God prepares them. God gets them ready, and he puts them here, and he puts them there, and he knows where he wants them. You see, God places them, you see, wherever God wants them to be. Now, also then, you'll notice in verse number 1, he says also, take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth-Gilead. He had a place of service. In other words, he had an appointed place where God said, this is where I want you. We have this young man by the name of Luke over here just found out within the last few months where God for sure wanted him. He knew he was going to use him. He wanted to be used. And he said that's, you know, but God didn't tell him until the last few months where it was. But God told him. And God will tell you where it is. You see, there's a place of service. God wants this preacher at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God's placed me here as a place of service because this is where he wants me. Wherever he wants you, you see, you ought to be sure if God calls you out, you're in the place of service where God wants you. Sunday school teachers, you're in the place where God wants you teaching the Word of God. What a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? He has a place of service for you to do that which he's prepared for you to do. Now, and also in verse number 2, he says, when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Now, once again, and I'm not going to make a big thing of this, but to me, I see in that the thought of persistence. He said, look out and find Jehu. When he got to town, Jehu was not going to be just standing out on the street corner waiting and waving to him. Here I am. Jehu didn't even know anything about it. He was going to have to hunt him down. And I want to encourage you that in the work of God, you've got to be persistent and see the work through. You just got to see it through. Have a missionary sitting back there, 17 years, I hope I've got that right, in Japan. He's seeing the work through. Whatever the work God gave him to do, he's seeing it through. You've got to be persistent in doing that which God sets up for you to do. Everything isn't easy, folks. You just got to be persistent and follow the will of God and the word of God and just do it. Amen? So we find here, again, in verse number 2, he says, "And when thou comest thither," he said to look out for Jehu, "and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber." Next, I want you to notice something. He did not say to go in and in front of all the people that was around Jehu, announce this big thing. He said, you take him in a private chamber off by himself. In other words, private service. It wasn't going to be no big deal and big shot stuff. And let me say to you, when God uses a man, he begins to train a man, he usually trains him in private before he uses him in public. Amen. And I'm saying here, he said, you know, he told him, take him into that private chamber there. Let me say something to you. If you will not serve God unless you've got a crowd, you won't serve. If it takes a crowd for you to get up in front of a big crowd and serve God, and you won't even serve him one-on-one telling somebody about Jesus, how's he going to use you to a big crowd? Amen. See, that's the way God trains. He trains us in private to be used in public. Amen. So in other words, we just need to realize that there's that private service. And it's always not the big shots, not to be standing out here somewhere in front of a big crowd somewhere. That's not what it's all about. It's just doing the will of God, whatever God has for you to do. And if it's just to come and talk to one man, that's what needs to be accomplished. That's what needs to be done. And then in verse number 3, you notice, take the box of oil and pour those on his head. And I want to take from that and just simply say this. If you're going to go out in service and you're going to serve God, you're going to have power for service. The oil in the Bible always speaks of, or let me say most times speaks of, the Holy Spirit of God. And I say to you that if you're going to go out in service and serve God and do the job, do the commission that God gives you to do, you must have God's power. You must. It won't work if you don't have God's power. If you've only got your own power, it will not work. You need to pray for power. You need to pray and ask God to give you power. Amen. Give me Holy Spirit power. Just do that all the time. So he took the flask of oil and poured it on his head. Then in verse number 3, also, I have anointed the king over Israel. And notice before that, I missed, they said, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed the king over Israel. One of the first things that we must understand is that this message, and he wanted him to get that across, this message was from the Lord. And I say to you, and I say to me, that's that thing that must be. The messages that we bring, that message that we take, must be from God. It can't be from just man. It must be from God. You see, God does not send a man without a message. When he sends a man, he sends him with a message. There's messages to be taken everywhere. And, you know, I'm talking about maybe specific service here, but that all comes down to you and I, too, on our daily basis. God has a message that needs to be taken. And that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs to be taken out there, you see. And we need to be faithful messengers. Preaching and teaching in the local church, it must be in the forefront. That must be what we say must be done. It must be the very first thing we see to. We must preach. We must teach the Word of God, and that the message must be from God. And so he comes and he said, you tell them that this message is from the Lord. And then if notice after that, he said in verse number 3, he said, then open the door and flee, and tarry not. You know, the thing that he wanted him to do was say, now you give this message. Remember, this is the newly anointed king of Israel, Jehu. And those around him, we didn't read it, but read the verses, I think 11 through 13, you'll find that they came in immediately, wanted to know what was going on. He had a lot of people around him. Now, you see, the temptation would have been to hang around after the message and hobnob with the captain of the host and the new king. Hey, I brought this message.
Yeah, I brought this message to the king. I told him a thing or two. Yes, sir. God chose me out. I want to tell you, pride is one of the very worst things that can get into a heart of man. See, a lot of you don't understand, and I know you don't. Some of it aggravates you. But I stress constantly on the fact that you don't want to lift men up except for their faith in God and what they're doing in faith for God. You don't understand that. You think everybody ought to be just bragged on and lifted up. You listen to me. When you start bragging on a man, you're setting him up for a fall. You don't understand that. You don't like that, but that's exactly what you're doing. And we have to be very careful around it. We can say things and be thankful and grateful for what people do because they're doing it for the Lord. But when you get into personalities and you start bragging on that individual, boy, you're really a great thing. Jason, I'm going to tell you, you're one of the greatest preachers I ever heard in my life. You're as handsome as can be. And you're good looking and you're well built. Jason will walk out of here thinking, that preacher sure knows his stuff. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. The flesh immediately gets all puffed up. Now, I'm saying to you, God said, prophet, go tell him and get out. Don't hang around and hobnob. Just get out and leave. Do your job and go. And I'm saying to you, folks, we better listen. You better listen to your preacher, because a lot of people get all puffed up from other people. And they walk around with that pride, and then God has to deal with the pride. And he will. Amen? So anyway, in verse number 6 through 10, and the reason I said that, and the reason I stressed that is because people don't like that. You know why? The flesh wants to be honored. The flesh loves to be honored. The flesh loves to be honored. You're not hearing me. The flesh loves to be honored. But God expects the flesh to honor God. Amen. Look at verse 6 through 10. What he did, and of course, at the end of verse number 10, the Bible says that he opened the door and he fled. Once again, I want to make notice to you this. That message, that mission that God put him on was a mission that lasted for a very, very short time. And yet all of the things I have said to you had to be in preparation for just getting him there and doing that short mission. No matter how short the mission God has for us, there has to be preparation for it. Amen. Let me say to you young men out here, you're going to down through the years, and Paul there, including Paul, and those who are answered to call to preach. Let me just say something to you. You're going to have those who are going to do everything they can to discourage you. They're going to have those who's going to try to discourage you from going on and doing what God wants you to do. You just say, Satan, get me behind me. And you go on and do it.
Amen.
Because you know what? That's what God wants. Amen. You know what? One of the reasons we're kind of making a big deal out of Brother Luke here, I mean, we should, because of his faithfulness. But you know one of the reasons we're doing that? I want these young people around here to see a young man who's growed up faithfully, served God, walked with God, went to school, got out of school, going on now to be a missionary. I want our young people to see a person who's just went and did it. You have a young man right over here as your assistant pastor. He went to school. He went through there. He studied. He worked. He worked hard. He got out. He pastored for about 6.5 years, I think, somewhere in there anyway. Came here. He's working. You know his testimony. You know him as a young man who has said, God called me, and I'm going to do it. You have a young lady back there, Sister Tina, who went to school, went to college, graduated, came home, and is now serving the Lord here teaching school. We have Kim Hutchison, who is doing the same thing. She's not teaching here, but she went through, she did it, and she's now serving God. Yeah. You say, what is it? Well, Brother Ross, now if I've left out somebody, somebody's going to say, boy, you've left me out. I don't have no intention to do that. I'm trying to just simply make a point. I want the young people of this church to see people who go and do it and come back and say, hey, I'm just done it. God called me and I'm going to do it. And that's what we need. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, listen, he just got out. He fled. You know why he fled? Because God told him to. When you get done with the message, you get out of there. Now, not only that, I want you to notice in verse number 6 of chapter 9, it says, and he rose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. I want you to notice that the message he had, he made sure, we talked about that it came from God and not man. Be sure of that. And not only that, he explained the anointing. Why was he anointing him? He anointed him to make him a king over Israel. There was no doubt about the message. The message was clear. It was plain. And he said, what I want you to do is anoint him, but I want you to anoint him as king over Israel. Our messages ought to be plain and simple. They ought not to be up where giraffes only can get them, but they ought to be down here where everybody can get them, including the giraffes. Amen. And it ought to be plain and simple. And we ought to honor God with our message. And that message must be from God. And then not only that, in verse number 7, you notice he explained what he was to do. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of thy servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And he had a mission. He had a job for Jehu. He said, what I want you to do, Jehu, why I'm anointing you king, why God is anointing you king, is I want you to slay the house of Ahab. That was the work that God gave him. That was the work that Jehu was supposed to do, and he did it. The house of Ahab, his family was slain and killed because of their wickedness. Jezebel at the end in verse number 10 died and the dogs ate her. It was God's will that that happened. There was wickedness. And he said, Jehu, I'm anointing you to do a specific job. And again, I say to you, God has a specific work for you to do. It is not everybody else's work. It's not like everybody else's. He's made you different. You're a different person, and God wants to use you in a specific place to do a work that he's prepared you for. Amen. And I say that not just to those who are called out. You as an individual, don't you understand as a church member, there is people you can reach. There's people you can talk to that other folk in this church never will be able to. Not like you can. And he's prepared you for that. And then the extent of the judgment was this, in verse number 8, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Here again, he simply said, this is the extent of the judgment that I am sending. I mean, they are to be cut off. You know, it's one of those things that is very, very serious, that it's helped bring a nation like America to the place she is the lack of discipline and the lack of what we think is that God will not judge us. And the reason we think God will not judge us is simply because our government doesn't judge us like we should, our homes does not judge us like I should, and our churches do not judge us like we should, and the schools do not, and the courts do not. Everything is lenient nowadays. If there's sin, just look over it. Don't do anything about it. That's not scriptural. And the reason why our churches are where they are today, and let me say to you, one of the main reasons is because they will not take a stand on discipline and expect from their membership godly living. And that goes from the preacher to everybody in the church. It's why our nation's the way it is now, and the way it is. It's why we've got a president that is not willing to get up and say, I did this wrong. You say he got up and said it. He never did apologize for anything. You ought to listen to his message. He said, I did that wrong. But you know why he said it? He was forced into it. He said it because he was caught. Not because it was a heart that said, oh, God, I've done this. But it was because he's caught. And then he went immediately about blaming someone else for his problems. That's what this nation does. That's what our children in our schools do. It's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. That's why marriages are breaking up all over this nation. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never mine. Amen? I'm just simply saying to you folks, God said, this is what I want done. I want it taken care of. I want that family cut off, and he cut them off. Do you know how big of a disgrace it was for Jezebel to go to the grave without a burial? Folks, that was a big deal. A queen to be eaten by dogs and not even have a burial was a terrible, terrible thing. And it's exactly what God allowed to happen. Amen? Now, I'm saying to you today, if you're called of God for a specific work, take those things that we've talked about this morning and put them into practice. And you go on, you serve God no matter what. You just go on and serve God. Don't care what anybody else says. Also, as just an individual in this church, you may not be called for a specific purpose, but you are called of God simply because you're a Christian to do certain things. Amen. Let's get it where it ought to be. Let's get busy for the Lord. Let's do things. Let's see this church grow. Let's get people saved. And let's go on and do a great work for God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace. Thank you for your love for us. And Father, once again today, we ask you to take your word and do with it as you see fit. And Lord, in the hearts of those who simply has just been touched by the word of God, I pray that you do a real work. Pray for their willingness to respond and Lord, unto you and do what you tell them to do. And I pray for all of those that's specifically been called out for a special work. God bless them and help them and empower them and just use them for the glory of God. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.